You know, we just need somebody with an accordion and a pair of suspenders, and we will have that thing ready to go with some Steve Urkel. So if anybody wants to, if anybody has an accordion at the house, just let me know. We will bring you into that video, but family matters. Let me just say this, man, I am so grateful and glad to be with my church family today. I don't usually specifically acknowledge individuals, but I do want to say it's good to see Miss Catherine today. Miss Catherine is Randy Bowling's mother. You didn't know I was going to call you out, did you? You know, you had to wake Randy up. Randy, he just said my name. No. But not only is this Randy's mother, this is Julie, and Julie's not here today, but it's Julie's mother as well. And I love when you get to be in church. And I know you can't be here every week, Miss Catherine, but I love it when you're here. Can I just say something? She's going to get mad at me for saying this. But for the last 2.5 years, Randy, every month, a check hits that mailbox. And it's not a ton of money, but every month, Miss Catherine gives to our church. She's on a fixed income. She doesn't have a lot of money coming in. That's why she's got Randy, you know what I'm saying? They call him the sugar son. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean that it means a lot to me. Every month when we check that mail, that will show up. And listen, if you're in here today and you struggle with that, you struggle with being consistent in that, just know, like, I tell you what, the older generation could teach a bunch of us young people: consistency in giving, investment in the kingdom. And so if you struggle in that, I'm not here today to preach on that. But when I saw her sitting out there, I said, you know what, I want to highlight that. Miss Catherine, I just want to let you know you're a blessing to me personally, and I really appreciate your support of our church. I really do. If you would pray today, we got a couple of our folks out and about serving. So Tim was not here today, and his whole family, they're at Summit Church today. I believe they're at the main campus with Aaron and Julia, if I'm not mistaken. Prison Alliance, they are doing a book drive at the main campus there for Prison Alliance today. So pray for Tim as he's out and about. So you guys are going to get to know the Stone family a little bit better. But Meg is here with their kids today. But Rob is preaching at a church. And so Rob's been pastoring for, I think our timelines add up, I think 17 years. And so Rob is preaching at a church today. So pray for him as he's probably preaching coming up pretty soon here, probably in the next half hour or so. So be thinking about that. And then we have a lot of our people, they are either already there, or they're on their way to our South Campus. And I don't know if you know, we have a second campus. It's in Orlando, Florida. Actually, it's in Lake Buena Vista, Florida. And it is Disney World. So we got a couple of families down at Disney. We got some heading to Disney. And then the lead pastor is going to have to make a visit in a couple of weeks to make sure everything's going okay down there. And so just pray. You know, it's tough. It's a mission field. Not everyone's called to it, but some of us are. And so just pray for us as we minister down there that we would not, you know, spend too much money. That's what we need to pray for. But no, I'm looking forward to this. Obviously, there's a lot of folks out of town. But next Sunday, Rachel's going to tell us a little bit more about next Sunday. But we're not highlighting every anniversary service. 1 through 5, we really tried to do a big. This is our 6-year anniversary coming up next Sunday. But I am having probably my best friend as far as a pastor friend in the world, Dustin Moore, he's from Chicago, Illinois. He's going to come be here next week. He's going to be preaching for us. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you will come. Not only that, but next Sunday we launch Keystone in Espanol. Can we praise the Lord for that this morning? We launch, and they are feeling the pressure right now, because I'm like, we got all the lot of stuff for them. I'm like, you guys have got to get it set up. If you haven't yet this morning, after service today, I want to encourage you to walk over to room 100. They've built out the platform. They have painted walls. They are getting stuff ready. That place it better be ready to go in 7 days. So y'all pray for them. But that's going to be awesome starting next Sunday. Let me just say with that, since we're family, right? Give us a little bit of time to work out some kinks, especially those of you, Laura's in here today. Thank the Lord for Laura and all she does with our kids ministry. But if you would, especially if you're serving kids, be very patient over the next few weeks as we begin to work together in serving not only the English-speaking kids, but also from our Spanish. They're going to be in our kids with us. Just be patient with that. We're looking at accordion soundproof doors to go out in that hallway there in the middle to try to help the noise level between the two. We get that. So just be patient with us, if you would. If you have any any suggestions that you believe would be helpful, if you'd let me know, or let Laura know if it has to do with the kids, we would love to hear from you. But that's going to start next Sunday. So, man, we're pumped about that. I'm going to see them this afternoon for a little while before we get started. So we are back in week two of our series, Family Matters. And so last week we kind of just laid a foundation and went over some foundational things. This week is going to be a little bit different. You say, Josh, I'm here. Let me do this before I say that. Let me just go ahead and go through. Last week I said there's some things we need to know about this series, okay, and we need to keep in mind about this series. Let me give them to you again. The principle number one is called most, not all. Can you say that back to me? You ready? Most, not all. Not every scenario may be true for your unique situation, okay? Remember, when we speak of things like family, we will make statements that are generally true. And it's very possible that something specific in your family may not be that, right? So it's okay. If we talk about something, we're making a general truth. As I gave you an illustration last week, a proverb is a general truth. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I don't know about you, but I've seen a bunch of parents who've done their best and trained their child up in the way that he or she should go. And when they got old, what did they do? They departed from it. So that's a general truth. You could say, but what about my situation? Okay, that's fine. So our answer is most, not all. Okay, it's all good. Most, not all. Secondly, we are family. Say that back to me. You ready? We are family. You got to say the family. All right. And it's likely in this series that not every sermon and not every point of every sermon is going to directly speak to your current life stage. And that is okay. Remember that coming to church is not just about hearing a sermon and getting something from the sermon. It's also about worshiping together with your brothers and sisters. It's about being a blessing to someone else. It's about serving the body of Christ. It's about fellowshipping with other brothers and sisters, our church family. Okay, so not every point is going to apply to every member of the family at all times, and that is okay. So, we're going to be in the book of Philippians today, and the title of our sermon today is Getting Your Joy Back. Getting your joy back. And if you have studied the Bible much, if you have taken maybe any sort of like basic seminary level classes and you've gone through a study of books, you know that Philippians, the main theme of the book of Philippians, is oftentimes said to be joy. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Philippians chapter 4. It's just a theme that runs throughout the book. I personally, when we preached the book of Philippians, I believe there was something we're going to get to in our sermon actually today, but I believe the true theme of the book of Philippians is unity. And I believe when we can possess unity, that leads to joy. But we are in the book of Philippians. The theme is joy, but I believe the theme also is unity. And we're going to talk about how both of those things work in our relationships. Who is today's sermon for? Today's sermon is for anyone who finds themselves in any sort of relationship. You say, well, okay, is it for husbands and wives? Absolutely. Definitely. Today is. You say, is today for employer, employee? Absolutely. Is today for coworker, coworker? Absolutely. Is today for my neighbor and my friend? Yes. Absolutely. Could today even be for church member relationship with their church? Absolutely. And so while today you may catch me referencing maybe a marriage today, instead of just saying, oh, that's not for me, today, if you're not married and we speak about something with relationships, realize that you have relationships with a lot of different people. And so these truths are universal. For Paul was not necessarily preaching writing this letter specifically to husbands and wives. That's for sure. We know that. And by the way, can I just say this? Not to like pour water on my own sermon series. It's amazing how much is not in Scripture about like husbands, wives, parenting. In the New Testament, like, I'm not going to have you do this, but think it in your head. Name me married couples in the New Testament. You know what the first one comes to my mind? Ananias and Sapphira, what happened to them? they died. And so let's make sure we understand in context, like when we speak of relationships, when we speak of what we're going to speak of today, while marriage is important and marriage is ordained by God from the very beginning, we learned it last week from Genesis chapter 1 and 2. I mean, we understand that much of the New Testament especially was written with more than that in mind. Not just the family, but the church. And not just the church, but the community at large. And so as we look at our Bibles today, we are going to be in Philippians in chapter number 2. Philippians in chapter number 2. What my goal is today is that for you in your relationship, that you leave here today with a joy back in your heart. Chris, with a joy back at your side. With a joy back in your heart. And you say, well, in what relationship? I don't know. That's not for me to answer. That's for you to answer. It could be this morning that there are married couples in this room, or maybe that are watching or listening online, and you know you may be putting up a good facade that everything is fine in your marriage and that life is good, but you know that deep down that when you really get down to it, brass tacks, you know that things aren't right. You know that there are issues in your marriage, and you know that truthfully you're not happy and you don't have the joy of the Lord in your marriage. And may I say this, if you stay married like long enough, you're going to find seasons of life where you don't feel that joy as naturally as you do in other seasons of life. But maybe you're here today and you're like, maybe I'm not even married. So maybe today you're like, hey, I've got a situation at work and honestly it's been really affecting me, and it has pulled the joy out of my work. It's pulled the joy out of what I do for a living. Maybe the relationship that you need to get your joy back in is with maybe a family member, or maybe a sister, an adult sister, an adult brother that you haven't spoken to in X amount of time. And you say, you know what? It really has pulled the joy out of my family relationships. I don't know what it is today. Apply it to a coworker, apply it to a boss, apply it to your church. Hey, listen, the joy that I once felt, I just don't feel. And I want to get my joy back, your relationship with God. I want my joy back. And so today, my goal is that through the book of Philippians and the writings of Paul to the church there at Philippi, that we would get our joy back in whatever relationship needs it in your life. As we speak on the family, obviously, I'm going to naturally speak toward husbands and wives. But it's okay. Apply it to your life. Apply it to your life. Can we go to Philippians chapter number 2, verse 1? Once again, if you have your Bibles, great. If not, check out the screen. It'll be there for you. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy. Fulfill my joy. That's my goal today. And that's what I want each of us to desire, is for your joy specifically to be fulfilled. Being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord. This is where the old preacher is like, that's why the Lord said you should drive a Honda. Of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Heavenly Father, would you speak through your word today? May we leave today with our joy back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What will it take for our joy to be fulfilled? What will it take to bring that? And I'm not talking about a fleeting, temporary laugh or smile back to our relationship. I'm talking about the joy, the pitter-patter, the anticipation. Listen, let's take out the marriage relationship. You remember that first day of the brand new job? And there was that anxiety, but also that anticipation. And you went into everything kind of with this energy. And after you've been there for a while now, it's like none of that happens anymore. And you're like, yeah, that's how they get all of you at the beginning. I want to help you today in the best way I know how. No matter how the situation and the relationships in your life look, that I believe today the Bible can help us get that joy. Number one, back on the same page. Back on the same page. Look at the first two verses of our text. We're going to stay right in our text. Actually, we're going to stay glued to our text today. Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. How can we get our joy back this morning in our relationships, in our families? We can get our joy back by getting back on the same page. There's a certain level of unity that is required for any relationship to flourish. There's a certain amount of unity that is required for any amount of joy to really be produced in any sort of relationship this morning. There is a unity. There is a like-mindedness. There is a same love, one accord, one-mindedness that is necessary for relationships to flourish, for relationships to produce this joy inside of us. This does not mean that everybody in that relationship has to 100% completely agree about everything. How many of you understand? You get two people in the room, two people, and I promise you they are going to disagree very quickly about something. In fact, I've told you this many times before. I disagree with myself half the time. Like, I'll say something and I'm like, I don't know. I don't agree with that, Josh. I mean, it just is what it is. But joy can be, and relationships can flourish, and joy can be present in a relationship where unity becomes a priority. Where unity becomes a priority. That means that you're back on the same page. You have the same common goals. You maybe have hit the reset button and say, hey, listen, I want to make sure that we are focusing again on what God has for us and in this relationship, whether it be a husband and wife. There's maybe some husbands and wives who say, listen, over the years, we've kind of grown apart and we've kind of turned into roommates that just live in the same house, and we need to get back on the same page, like-minded. We need the same goals, and while our professional lives may be different, we need to have family goals, and we need to set those things as a husband and a wife and a family. Back on the same page. This includes communicating and talking about things together and giving your opinion and listening, Lord have mercy, listening to someone else's opinion. How many of you are professionals at that? None of us, right? None of us. But listening and getting that unity back, that like-mindedness back, that one mind back. How can we get our joy back in a relationship? Is that we must prioritize unity. And let me just reiterate this. I do not believe that unity means that one person dominates and the other person just says, whatever you say is right. No, that's like elementary school unity. No, unity involves discussion. Unity involves back and forth. It involves your opinion. I got a bunch of them. But it also involves the other person's opinion and your ears more than your mouth. What did your grandma tell you? God gave you what? Two ears and one mouth. So you should listen twice as much as you speak. So I'm working on it. This includes thinking about things together, talking things through together. This includes deciding to forfeit your own opinion sometimes. Let me repeat that. To get joy back in your relationships, to flourish in your relationships, sometimes it means you must decide to forfeit your opinion. Or let me just say it this way, not really forfeit your opinion, forfeit your grasp on your opinion. It was a great day for me when I moved to Baltimore, Maryland. I was working at a large church, and they had several pastors, assistant pastors, and we would collaborate on a lot of ideas and things for the church. And it was a great day for me when I learned very quickly to present my opinion and present my idea in front of all of those people around that table, that conference room table, to present my idea and my plan and my opinion and to put it in that table and to take my hands off of it. It was a great day when I learned that. I've got a pastor friend of mine right now. He's pastors in Virginia. He may come preach for us one day. You might meet him. He pastors in Virginia, and he came to work in Baltimore as a part of that same staff, and I told him, he said, "What's going to be my biggest struggle?" I said, "Your biggest struggle is you're married to your opinions. And here, if you're married to your opinions and your opinion gets ripped apart, your idea gets ripped apart, you take it personally. So you got to be able to really." So unity requires, hey, I will give my opinion, but I'm not married to my opinion. I'm not married to it. I would rather have joy in my relationship than win the opinion battle. Listen to me. I'd rather have joy in my relationship than win the opinion battle. Remember, this is a Joshism 2017 plus. If you keep score, you will always lose. So if this is an opinion battle, my opinion won, your opinion lost. Guess what? You lost. You lost. So getting the joy back in your relationship, getting joy back to a relationship that can flourish, whether it be a spouse or whether it be a friend or whether it be in a church environment, is going to require some intentional practice and some intentional work at unity. And that's going to take us taking our hands off of our opinions sometimes. Listen, I'm not perfect. I'm not, but Brent's been here the last 2 weeks. He's on sabbatical at work, by the way. It's a great thing. 10 years, got a 6-week sabbatical. Spending 2.5 weeks of it here helping work at the church and get some projects done. I think Brent can attest to this. Brent would say, "Hey, I think we need to do this, this, and that." And I would say, "If that's what you think we should do, go right ahead." Now, I promise you, there are lead pastors across this city and country that have to have their opinion on every little thing that happens. Laura's taken over our Keystone Kids, and probably more than she even wants me to, I say, "Laura, that's why you're doing this. I want you to do it. I want you to make that decision. I got your back." Jeff has known that for many, many years. "Hey, listen, man, I got your back. You do this, whatever you think is best." I try, because here's the deal. When I'm dealing with our leaders in our church, I want there to be joy. I don't want there to be this angst, this scorekeeping, this here comes the micromanager. It's like, no, here comes someone that values the joy in the Lord and values unity in our church. So number one, we need to get back on the same page. And so for a husband and wife here today, it might need to be that you take a date night and your date night is really communicative. And you sit down with one another, you say, "We need to get back. We've become fragmented. We don't have the joy that we used to have. We need to get back We need to figure this thing out. We need to start from the ground up. We need to get like-minded again. We need to be of the same love. We need to be of one accord. We need to be of one mind. We need to unify. Secondly, it's not only back to being on the same page. Philippians, Paul tells the church of Philippians, secondly, back to preferring one another. Lord, help us. I should have titled this point, Dear Josh, get back to preferring one another. This one hits me right in the face. Look at Philippians chapter 2. I told you we're sticking straight to the text this morning. Look at verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Whew. This ain't confession. Y'all ain't my priest. But if you were, man, selfishness. Like by default, my flesh, I operate in selfishness. If I do not pay attention, I operate in selfishness. Paul says in his letter, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Now we're going to talk a little bit about this in depth for our third point, a portion of this text, but it's reiterated by Paul in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. It says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, preferring one another. You know, there's a reason Jesus knew our human nature. When he talked about love in the New Testament, he says to love your neighbor as, say it out loud, love your neighbor as. He knows you love yourself. We naturally love and take out and look out for and take care of ourselves. Jesus knows how much we love. And he says, I want you to love your neighbor like that. I want you to look out for them like you innately look out for yourself. Here, Paul, I believe, even takes it a step further in his challenge to prefer the other. So how do we prefer one another? I'll be honest with you. I literally, as I was studying this week, and I got to this part of the text, I literally got on a piece of paper. I literally wrote on a piece of paper, how do I prefer someone? I mean, it sounds really good, and I think we all get the, like, 30,000-foot concept. But, like, what does it really look like? I mean, preferring one another is not just say, okay, we're going to go out to eat tonight, Sarah. I'm going to let you pick where we go out to eat, because we all know how that's going to end. She's going to say, I ain't got a clue. And then I'm going to get mad, be like, but I'm trying to let you pick. And she's like, I have no idea, I don't care. And then I'm like, okay, well then I'll pick it. And I pick up and she goes, no, not there. I'm like, we all know that's not unity. That ain't going to help. Especially me, man, I'm ready to eat. You know, we got to get this taken care of. No, how do I really prefer one another? I'm not talking about deciding where we're going to go eat or what movie you want to go watch. But what does it really at a deep level look like? So I asked myself, I wrote that on a piece of paper. And the Holy Spirit began, as he does, breaking it down. I'm like, oh, Lord. He hit me right between the eyes. He threw a haymaker. The first thing that came that I wrote down. You know what I wrote down? Give up your addiction to control. That's how I can prefer other people. Give up my addiction to control. Listen, I don't know if you are wired like I am, and some of you are, and some of you are not, and that's okay. But if you always must control a situation, if you always must control a conversation, I promise you, you are not preferring the other person, and I promise you, there is not joy, true joy, in that relationship. If you are always in control, there is no joy. There is no joy because you spend every fiber of your being on making sure you're in charge and you're in control and what is happening is flowing through you and no one else. And man, in my flesh, I must reject that. Because in my flesh, that wells up inside of me. I went through a few years of flight anxiety. Anybody been through flight anxiety before where I flew my entire life, all the way up until, all the way. From when I was a little kid, we would fly on vacation and different things. I would fly this, that, my young adult life. I flew back and forth from college all the time. I flew to India a couple times and back. I've been all over to the Caribbean and back. Flew. And I went through a stage of my life where I, as an adult in my 30s, had flight anxiety. And I was like, anything I can do to get out of a flight would be awesome. Now, there were some other implications to this, like mentally, that I had to get through. And I actually did some online courses and like had some people speak into that. But you know what part of it was for me? You know what I figured out? I wasn't flying the plane. In my flesh, I needed that control. Hey, if I knew how to fly a plane, I'd be good. But I didn't. And someone else did. And whoever that man or lady was that while I walked on the plane, I had to put control of my entire life onto them. And that was tough. And my flesh was all up in the way. So I had to remove that. Our addiction to control. We can't prefer, husband, you can't prefer your wife if you always have to be in control. And ma'am, you can't control your husband if you always have to be in control. And listen, you cannot have joy at work with your boss or with your coworkers if you have to always be in charge and in control. You will not have joy. You must give up your addiction and get back to preferring one another. How do we prefer one another? Give up our addiction to control. Secondly, give up our opinion on everything. I've already mentioned this. We must be willing to give up our opinion. Listen, did you know? I'm about to blow some of your minds. Did you know that you can hold a political opinion and you can keep it to your dang self? I'm not sure if anybody knew that. Did you know? Man, I'm about to blow some of your minds. You can vote next November. You can vote for the President of the United States. Did you know this? And no one has to know who you voted for. We don't have to have an opinion. As I have been a pastor, a lead pastor now for coming up on 6 years next week, I've really tried to broaden my friendship horizons, and I've tried not to only fellowship with pastors that are just like me, because I'm weird and I'd only fellowship with like one or two other people. So I'm like, no, I want to broaden my horizons. You know what that means? That means when I sit down and I have lunch with a pastor, guess what? He does not care about my opinion about our theological differences. He does not care what I think about the way they do things. My opinion needs to stay mine and inside of me. And if I want joy in my relationships, my opinion does not need to be given on everything. I mean, it's a funny illustration, but the truth is, I'm only giving an opinion on my wife's outfit if she asks me. And then, depending on what I really feel, I'm going to lie to make her feel good if I have to, right? Let's be honest. It's not my opinion. Yesterday, we went to visit our friends of ours, that pastor friends of ours in Statesville, and she wore a Duke sweatshirt. It was incredible. And you know what I said? Love your outfit. But you know what the truth is? She didn't ask my opinion. It's okay. If she was wearing a UNC one, I mean, you know what? I just don't know how long the walk would have been home from Statesville, but I mean, I wouldn't have given my opinion. I'm just kidding. But I don't have to give my opinion. Can we, in order to maintain joy in our relationships, can I encourage all of us in this? Have an opinion, but only give it when it's asked. And may I say, even then, only give it when it's asked and it's appropriate for you to give it. I've been asked my opinion about things, and there's been people around that I don't need to share that opinion about around. So how do we prefer one another? We give up our addiction to control. We give up our opinion on everything. And then thirdly, this is what, as I wrote this down, we give over the best to the other person. We give over the best to the other person. I'm going to give an illustration here. Please take it the way it is, because it's just funny. But in our church relationships, oftentimes, I've been in ministry for 17 years. And I don't know how many times people say, hey, we can't use this anymore. You think the church can use it? And that's okay, because let me be honest. We have, like, done a lot of stuff with that. But, like, sometimes it's like holy underwear. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes it's like dirty socks, you know? Sometimes it's like something that's actually broken. I'm like, I know why you don't use it anymore. Right? So what I'm saying is, and I'm not saying, please just take that at face value. We've had a lot of really awesome things. Anyway. But think about this. Preferring one another says, I have a used TV at home, and we don't need this, but we need a TV for this such and such area in the church. Instead of taking my old TV from home and giving that one to the church and going out and buying a new TV for myself, I'm going to keep my TV because it works fine and it does what I need it to do, and I'm going to buy a new one and give the new one. That's preferring. Does that make sense? So for me, wanting what's the best for someone else means this. It means that it would be good for me if our family did this over here, but it would be best for her and my kids if we did this over here. And so I take the loss and I do what's best for the other person. That, listen to me, that will bring joy back to a relationship. You say, really? Like, not getting what you think you want brings joy? It absolutely does. It absolutely does. Saying statements like, I want you to win. I want you to have the best. We see it oftentimes in our parental relationships. Back a couple of years ago, our family, we began playing board games. When Avery got old enough to be able to participate, she's over there saying, Dad, why are you talking about me in a sermon? Avery, wave at everybody. Okay, she's not. But anyway, there's... but I remember in those early days, we liked to play Sequence. I don't know if anybody plays Sequence. It's a great game. We like to play. We got a bunch of games we like to play. But you know, as a parent sometimes, like maybe it was her and Sarah on the same team and Kelsey and me on the other team. But you know, as a parent, you're like, I really want her to win. Because she's just learned the game, and we beat the mess out of her last game, and her sister made fun of her because of it, and I really want her to win. And I'm a pretty competitive dude. You know what that means for me? I'm okay losing. That's what it looks like. And it's like a parent, it's like an innate thing in parents. But like, we need it in all of our relationships. I want you to win. I want you to get the best. Preferring one another, giving up our addiction to control, giving up our opinion on everything, and giving over the best to the other person. We can get our joy back by focusing on the well-being of the others rather than ourselves. And we are closing with this. I'm sorry. This morning, this week really helped me. And so when it really helps me, I get a little bit more talkative, and I'm sorry. Thirdly, and we're done. I have no conclusion today. When I'm done with this point, we're praying. Number three. Here we go. Number one, we need to get back on the same page. Number two, we need to get back to preferring one another. If we want to have joy and to get our joy back in our relationships. Thirdly, we need to get back to the mind of Christ. We need to get back to the mind of Christ. You see, Paul hit on it in the previous two verses, in verses 3 and 4. But look at verse 5 in our text, back in Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, so he says, Paul says, I want you to have the mind of Christ. So naturally, if we're trying to learn the scriptures, our natural response would be, okay, well, what was the mind of Christ? He begins in verse 6. This was the mind of Christ. This is what Jesus did. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal to God. You know what that means? He knew who he was. Okay, he knew who he was. Jesus knew that he was God. He knew that. Okay, so he understood that. But, verse 7, he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and not coming in the likeness of royalty, but coming in the likeness of men. And then he was incarnate, he was wrapped in flesh as a man, so he was found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And may I say, if there has been a theme throughout this entire sermon and the word has not yet been spoken, the theme is that of humility. Getting our joy back. Having a refreshed and revitalized relationship with someone. Getting our joy back at our work. Getting our joy back in that relationship with our brother or sister. Getting our joy back with our relationship with our church family. Getting our joy back in our marriage or in a boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance situation. Whatever it may be, getting our joy back. One word can help us, and it is humility. It is humility. Humility thinks of yourself the way that you ought to think. Listen, I'm just taking scripture for what it says. Jesus intellectually knew he was God. So humility includes us understanding that we are joint heirs with Christ and we are sons of God and daughters of God and we have the inheritance of things. That's part of humility. Understanding our standing in God's family is part of humility. Okay? But it also is to think of others the way that you ought to think. Those are image bearers of God. Others are no matter their frailties or no matter maybe the sin that they have in their life, they are image bearers of God and God loves them and he sent Jesus to die for them and to pay sin's penalty for them and to see others the way that we ought to see. That's part of humility. And we can only accomplish that by seeing Jesus the way we ought to see him. We can only truly be humble in our relationships when we view ourselves properly, that without Christ we are nothing. That we view others properly, that God created them in his image, their image bears of him, and that this all rests on Jesus. That Jesus is the answer for all of us. The mind of Christ, that is humility, thinking of ourselves the way we ought to think, thinking of others the way that we ought to think, and thinking of Jesus the way that we ought to think. That is humility. And may I ask you this morning, friend, wife, husband, boss, employer, employee, co-worker, brother, sister, cousin, family member? Do you operate with a baseline of humility? Do you operate with a foundation of humility? If you operate outside of humility, we're operating in pride. And when we operate in pride in our relationships, we will not have joy. We will not. It's impossible. When we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, we will in turn degrade those that are not me, and that in pride. And then I am taking the place of Jesus because I am the answer and he's not. Pride doesn't work. It doesn't work in the Christian life. And so I challenge you and I challenge me this morning that we would operate in our relationships with the humble mind of Christ. And that as you're interacting with your boss at work this week, that you would operate with a humble mind of Christ. That when you are dealing with your husband or your wife this week, and maybe the argument is about to begin, that you would operate in the humble mind of Christ. Or when that coworker that has pushed the wrong button on you multiple times comes right back to push another wrong button on you, that we would operate in humility with the mind of Christ. How can we get our joy back in our relationship with each other? We can get back on the same page, prefer one another, and we can have the mind of Christ. How can we get our relationship with our church back and have the joy that we once had in our relationship with our church? We can get back on the same page. We can get back to preferring one another. Lord, have mercy. And we can humbly step back in the mind of Christ. How can we get our relationship maybe with a family member or a friend back to where it needs to be, and that joy back? How to get our joy back? We need to get back on the same page. We need to get back to preferring one another. We need to get back to the mind, the humble mind of Christ. Ultimately, this morning, how can we get a relationship with the Lord back the way it's supposed to be? How can we get the joy back in our relationship with Jesus, especially those of us who've had a relationship with Jesus for a long time? We can get back on the same page. We can get back to preferring one another. We can get back to the mind of Christ, humble, the humble mind of Christ. If you're here today and you've never experienced that relationship with Jesus, listen, His family is the best place you could ever be in. Listen, none of us in His family are perfect, but because He's in charge, He is perfect. And we're all a bunch of misfits, and we've all messed up, but He never did. We have all lied, we have all deceived, and He is the God who cannot lie. And so while we spoke today to our relationships with our family, with our spouses, with our church, with our employer or employee, the most important relationship you can have is one with Jesus. May I ask you this morning, just very quickly, to bow your heads with me. Close your eyes. We're done. Sorry for keeping you a tad bit late today, but hey, it's all good. I wonder if you're here in the room and you say, obviously, as we mentioned, no first-time guest to our knowledge here today, but maybe you're here today and you say, Josh, I need you to pray for me and my relationships, whatever it may be. I'm not going to ask you today if it's a marriage relationship, a work relationship, a friendship, another family. I'm not going to ask you what type of relationship it is. But would you just say, as your pastor, say, Josh, as my pastor, would you pray for me and my relationships? Would you be willing and so bold just to slip your hand up and take it back down? Josh, would you pray for me? Thank you all over the room, all over there. Awesome. And I want to do that right now. I want to do that right now. And then secondarily, if you're here today and you say, Josh, I've never been a part of the family of God. We're talking about getting joy back. I've never experienced the joy that Jesus brings. I've never believed on Him and Him alone for my salvation. If that's you here today, I would also love to pray for you, and I'm going to do that at the end. And what I'll ask you to do is not even embarrass yourself today at all. I don't want you to even raise your hand, but I will be outside on the way out, and I'd love for you just to shake my hand and say, hey, I'd like to talk to you about Jesus. Can we pray together, Heavenly Father?
Thanks for listening today. If you're listening for the first time, we would love to hear from you. Maybe you have a question about the gospel of Jesus. If so, we'd like you to send us an email at hello@keystonerdu.church. If you're a regular listener to our podcast and you would like to donate to the media and outreach ministries at Keystone, your gift would allow us to do more in an effective way to get the gospel out. Thank you for partnering with us in ministry in Durham and around the world.